What would you get if Westworld and Shark Tank had a baby that was raised and nurtured by Aaron Sorkin? I'll tell you what you'd get. You'd get the pilot script to Accelerator by Gabriel Mizrahi and Suzanne Farwell. And today, we're reading it here in studio on this first episode of Popcorn Talks, the unproduced table read, and the writers are here, so don't move a muscle.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the premiere episode of the Unproduced Table Read here on the Popcorn Talk Network. As I mentioned, we have two amazing writers here in studio with us that you'll meet in a sec. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about this show. This is a pretty much weekly show featuring some of Hollywood's best unproduced pilots and features that have accrued any number of awards or acclaim or recognition, but haven't been put to screen yet. And our goal here on the panel with a group of amazing actors and writers is to do our best to get this work heard. We'll be meeting here weekly at 10 a.m. Pacific on Fridays, so we'd love to see you here. If you join the chat, you can potentially be asking these writers questions yourselves. But before we dive into today's script, I want to go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Jeff Graham. I'll be here weekly, kind of producing, leading the show, selecting our scripts. And I have a group of amazing actors that will be joining with me every week for the most part. So we're going to get to know them now, get familiar with their voices, because they'll be here a lot. We'll start with you, Mike, on the end. And as well as introducing yourself, introduce your characters you're playing today.
Sounds good. Hi, guys. I'm Mike Kalinowski. You guys might catch me here on Popcorn Talk at DC Movie News or MacGyver After Buzz Show. I am reading a bunch of roles, so I'm going to be going with Damien, the CNBC anchor, Sergey / Guy, editor, Mason, and the bus driver. Yeah, I'm excited. It's awesome.
Hey guys, I'm Timothy Michael. You could reach me on all social media platforms at I Am Timothy Mike, and I will be reading Cole Fisher and Andrew Slade.
Hi guys, Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer, and I will be reading for Neve and the director.
Hey everybody, I'm Andrew Guy. You can find me here at the Popcorn Talk Wednesdays at 12:30 on Action Movie Anatomy. You can also find me at Andrew Guy on Twitter and Instagram, and today I will be reading for Anton and Engineer Number One.
Hey, I'm Haley O'Connor. You can find me on Twitter at Haley O'Connor, and that is Haley with two Y's. If you don't use two Y's, you're not too wise. I am reading for Engineer Number Two, Georgina and Josh.
Hi, guys. I'm Tara. You can find me on Twitter at the Tara Erickson. I am reading for Jenna, Matt, Audrey, and Marla.
All right, so before I introduce my writers, I want to really quick first have you guys swap mics a little bit so we can get Suzanne on, but we'll have Gabriel pass to Suzanne and Tara pass to Gabriel just for now. Will that reach?
Got a full studio today.
Okay, we'll make adjustments when we go to the actual Q&A, but I can introduce on your guys' behalf if that's okay. Yeah. They're very humble, so they probably won't give themselves the accolades they deserve anyway. We have two amazing writers here in studio today. We have Gabriel Mizrahi and Suzanne Farwell. Gabriel has a very interesting career history. He was originally a consultant with Deloitte, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but a consultant with Deloitte, and then actually got a job as this kind of strategic planner, a consultant with Cirque du Soleil. And then decided he wanted to become an amazing writer, so he switched to writing. Since then, he's written this amazing script with his co-writer Suzanne, and also a feature that was recently featured in the 2016 Nickel Buzz.
Yep.
We also have Suzanne Farwell, who's a co-producer with Nancy Myers. If you guys don't know who Nancy Myers is, I'm surprised, because she's one of the most prolific female directors working today. She works a lot with Diane Keaton. You've probably seen It's Complicated, The Intern, Something's Gotta Give, even Father of the Bride, so... I love Nancy Myers, and it's an honor to have you in studio today as well, Suzanne. We'll get you on the mic once we get to our Q&A, but Gabriel, if you want to talk a bit about this pilot, just quickly kind of the log line and sort of a general, maybe 3-4 sentence pitch, if you wouldn't mind.
No, not at all. First of all, guys, thank you so much for having us.
Of course.
This is basically every writer's wet dream. For this script in particular, it's just very cool to hear it out loud, because we worked on it, you know, it's been a few years now since we actually wrote it, mm-hmm. and it's really nice to bring it to life again, so thank you. I'll tell you a little bit about how the script came together, if you'd like. Accelerator is basically a show about the journey of building something that will change the world, or as one of the characters, as we're going to see in a second, says, not just change it, but invent a whole new one.
Hmm.
And we wanted to write a show about entrepreneurship and about the startup life, but we didn't want to just do another Silicon Valley show.
Right.
And we didn't just want to do a show about people sitting in front of their laptops, like, typing. You know what I mean? Which is very easy to do if it's a show about engineering. So Accelerator is a show about what a lot of people are calling the next internet, like the next huge revolution, which is going to be life extension. Wow. Not just like extending the lifespan by 5 or 10 years, but by 30 or 40 or 50 years, which will have just insane implications for the entire world. And that's basically what the show is about. It's about watching a group of people under the mentorship of this one very driven, ambiguous character, Anton, trying to build something that has never been built before.
Cool, I love that. I get chills even hearing
this. Yeah, like, let's do this.
Yeah. So let's not wait any longer. Let's dive right in. Guys, without further ado, this is the pilot script to Accelerator, written by Gabriel Mizrahi and story developed by both Gabriel Mizrahi and Suzanne Farwell. Let's get into it. All right. Fade in on a surreal painting, an exquisite canvas by Ferjo. Mundane objects float in a striking space, disobeying the laws of physics. Beneath it, interior glass office morning. Damien Swift, late 20s, scrappy and confident, paces with a feral intensity, conspicuously out of place with the elegant decor. Here's a guy who's hustled his entire life, and right now he's hustling Jenna Kincaid, 30s, a cold-blooded exec with both pedicured feet firmly on the corporate ladder.
Okay, so Mildred gets better, throws out half a Vicodin.
Mildred?
Yeah, that's what I call on her.
Who?
My target customer.
I thought I was your target customer.
We're both chasing Mildred, because she throws away her meds.
Yeah, but
which wait. Other patients could be buying at a discount. Think about it. Mildred makes back her copay.
We take our cut.
And that's how we become the eBay prescription meds.
You don't have to pitch me, Damien.
Before he can answer, Damien's phone rings. On his phone, a headline. Amazon moves to swallow ambrosia.
Point is, Anton thinks...
I know what Anton thinks.
Then why do I feel like I'm doing jumping jacks in a swimming pool?
Interior, another glass office morning. Two engineers, 20s, chronically underslept and juggling 1,000 details, fight like hell to keep this company together. On the wall, a flimsy banner reads Ambrosia.
A-B testing is done. I need that new graphic, like, yesterday,
Cole. Guy's whole customer service department. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, check GitHub. I tweaked it. Cole!
Cole Fisher reaches over, taps some code on engineer number 2's laptop. Cole is baby-faced, placid, no-nonsense. He doesn't waste words, but he doesn't have many of them to waste. What he does have is the sober confidence of a true engineer.
That should do it. You push the new code?
I need your okay before I can...
Delete if you don't say.
Just make it good enough and get him off the phone. We still have to debug and reconfigure.
All at once, their phone rings. They read, stunned.
How do they know?
An offer we can't refuse?
What they do we do?
They turn to Cole, a tense beat, and then...
We have to talk to Anton.
Interior, Georgina's car, morning. Georgina Duval, late 20s, weaves through traffic in a new BMW, rehearsing something out loud as a live news report plays in the background. She's hungry, focused, whip smart, a raw intelligence amplified by her unsettling beauty.
1,500 patients, 80% off, 93 out of... Yo!
Screech! She narrowly avoids a merging car on the highway. Suddenly, the news report catches her attention. She grabs her phone, turns it up, watches the CNBC anchor break it down.
But the big surprise this morning in Ambrosia Technologies, we're hearing that the secretive startup funded by billionaire inventor Anton West will fetch close to $1 billion.
Georgina, both intimidated and encouraged, refocuses.
80% off their meds, 93 out of the hospital, 10 years long.
Interior Accelerator hallway morning. The news report continues as Neve DeHaan strides down the hall, phone to ear. Neve is all tough tones and sharp edges, but there's a warmth beyond the hard exterior. She's Lara Croft, if Lara Croft were Israeli and belonged to Mensa.
I don't give a shit that you've been on Shark Tank.
The fifth major startup to
I love Mark, but we're investing in startups no one else knows about.
She catches the last bit, snaps around to the TV.
So I've got to ask, has the tech bubble peaked? What is Anton's secret? Here to break it down.
Call you back.
Then ends the call and runs out of the room. Interior Accelerator, the trenches, morning. The sickest office you've ever seen. Half modern estate, half laboratory, like Wired Magazine and Architectural Digest decided that this is what work should look like. At every turn, entrepreneurs, all 20s, debate with one another. Design features on whiteboards, type at superhuman speeds. All of them hunkered down in those sleek glass offices or spread out across the elegant co-working space. This is the Accelerator, and it's fucking electric. Damien's office. Damien and Jenna continue sparring.
No, this wasn't what I backed.
You backed me. I am the only person who can speak both sides of the table.
I remember that line from the first time we met.
Well, now I have the data to prove it.
So you were lying.
I was promising.
Jenna leaves the office, and Damien follows her into the trenches, where a crowd forms around a TV playing a CNBC segment.
Promises are just like lies you hope are true.
Welcome to entrepreneurship.
Cole spills out of his office, collides with Jenna, mutters a half apology as he beelines for the staircase.
Ugh, I need another check.
Damien,
just $500,000 to scale our platform, and then I could get
Damien! We're not going to be investing in you anymore. I'm sorry. That's it.
Ouch. Damien stops, glances around at his peers. Not the kind of conversation you want to have in public. At the top of the stairs, Cole runs into Neve.
There you are. He's ready. Come.
Cole follows her up down the upstairs hallway, where they pause outside a set of formidable double doors. Cole stops short and shuffles his feet.
This is the exit. This is what we've been killing ourselves for.
To be a quick cash ATM? Some bullshit acquihire?
They want you, Cole. They're not trying to take anything away from us.
Ambrosia has to continue. That's my only condition.
So let's hear them out. We don't like it. Tell them to fuck off.
With that, Neve knocks and enters Anton's study to find two men locked in a wrestling match in the middle of the sumptuous study. Not the picture they were expecting. Neve and Cole stare at the tangle of limbs, then one guy flips and pins the other guy, hovering over him with a victorious smile. That's Anton West.
Just say it.
The other guy gets loose, throws a jab, but Anton deflects and doubles down as the two men laugh like 12-year-old boys.
Come on, no. Say it.
There's no app for that.
What?
There's no app for that.
Anton rolls off, and that's when we get a good look at him. A youthful titan, tireless and brimming with life, a touch of the mad scientist to his preternatural charisma.
Cole! Want to get in on this?
Two seems fun. Three's a little weird.
Hey, Neve.
Sup, Sergey. Things at Google not exciting enough for you?
Sergey slips on a pair of Google Glass. Yep, that's Sergey Brine. The Sergey Brine. Cole stares with those big eyes.
He needs to get off campus from time to time.
Anton picks up the phone, taps a line.
Thanks for your patience, guys. Had something urgent I needed to lock down. Awesome. We'll be right with you.
Placing the call on hold, back to Neve and Cole.
Let's talk Ambrosia.
Sergey perks up at that, and Neve catches it.
Hang out. I have some new toys for you to play with. Be back in a few.
They exit. Once he's alone, Sergey taps his Google Glass.
Okay, Glass, Google judo lessons, Palo Alto.
Anton's library moments later. Anton, Neve, and Cole enter the imposing sanctum.
CNBC is reporting a billion.
Well, that's a place to start.
They crowd around a desk. Anton opens a call on speaker.
Gentlemen, I'm with the boy Wonder and Neve DeHaan, my personal assassin.
Matt, the cold voice of an experienced buyer, responds as Neve covers the phone, turns to Anton for a private aside.
Why can't you just say right-hand man?
Because I'm left-handed.
Team with me.
Shh.
Hello?
You must be feeling pretty good right now, Cole.
Yes. Hello?
Right. So we're hearing lots of things out there. Talk to us.
Real simple. We're offering you $1.1 billion for 100% of Ambrosia. Stock and cash with earnouts if you make us happy.
Cole. Shell-shocked. Anton calmly doodles on a piece of paper as he talks.
Smart move.
Glad you agree.
But we're thinking closer to two.
Slow down. We just...
You're not here to go thrift shopping, Matt. Cole spent the last 4 years building your next 10-figure business. We know what that's worth to you.
What's it worth to you? I'm happy to sit on this for a year, see if you survive. We've got plenty of time.
Yeah, that's what MapQuest said when Google Maps came out. How'd that work out?
Great for Google Maps. Remember who you're talking to.
Anton considers that as he studies his doodle, a crude sketch of Neve and Cole in profile.
Good point.
Then he hangs up the phone, just like that. Neve and Cole look at him, slack-jawed. Anton stands.
We were just about to...
When he calls back, let it ring twice. And Cole, then tell him what you shipped today. I want him to hear from his future head of engineering.
Anton ducks out, heads into the hallway, where he stops, shuts his eyes, and waits. Silence. It deepens, metastasizes, mocking him. A tinge of regret creeps into his face. Game over. Then, ring! ECU, Anton's eyes. They shoot open. Ring, game on.
Go West. Hey, Matt.
Anton study moments later. Anton reappears. Sergey's on a conference call via Google Glass.
Yo, how's your cloud business?
A silent thumbs up from Sergey.
Awesome. How's it really?
Sergey hesitates, then gives him a so-so gesture.
Ambrosia, right now, plus the team, 1.8.
Who's playing?
Amazon, bolt-on acquisition.
You think you're too small, guys. Go big or go home. Or go work for Microsoft.
Good idea. I'll give him a call.
Wait. 1.5. Tops.
Alexandria, moments later. Anton, amped up now, hovering over the phone.
You messing with me, Anton?
I'd get him in here, but he's busy talking to his glasses right now.
Look, our customers might be changing, but I don't...
They're not changing, Matt. They're jumping ship. Ambrosia's stealing them left and right.
Let's focus on the facts.
Great. Great idea. I love facts. Here are a few. Your margins are plummeting. You haven't released a new product in 18 months. My boy is shipping new features every single night while you're selling MySpace the MySpace of cloud computing. We are unstoppable. These are all facts. Should we keep going?
Silence. Cole looks between Anton and the phone.
All right. 1.6. But we want to guarantee that Cole won't fly the coop.
Give him a reason not to, and he'll slay Amazon Prime subscriptions on the weekend.
Off Neve and Cole, like, what the fuck is happening? Anton study, moments later. Anton and Sergey negotiating. Sergey's worked up now.
But he'll stick around for 3 years if you can beat that.
Nick, why'd you invite me over here today?
We're on the same team.
Oh, really? Brother. Because it feels like you're still on top of me. No, not you. Yes, I agree. That was a weird thing to say. Carry on. You're not giving me anything to work with here, Anton. Sorry. Like, I'm out.
Neve enters, slips Anton a note. He reads it, then trains his gaze on Sergei, standing there in those awkward glasses.
When am I getting a pair of those?
They're off the market.
Neve, what was that thing your guy in the Air Force was mentioned last week? Something about weather patterns?
They lost a plane when the pilot stopped to check his iPad for navigation data.
Yeah. I think they'd fly a lot better with the glass, don't you think? Tell the Air Force that iPads are history. If they want real-time planning without distractions, their pilot should be rocking what Sergei is wearing.
Well, they're still in development. We haven't given up on the consumers.
Glass was never meant for you and me. It was meant for the military. Let's see if people still call them glass holes when they're up there using your product to keep us safe. Now, how do we make sure you win the cloud war?
Off Sergei caught in Anton's web. Library later. A fraught calm. Cole, looking a little lost, stares up at Anton's book collection. Anton and Neve enter.
Is it over?
1.8.
Handing him a pair of glass.
And a welcome gift from Google.
Cole exhales. The figure hangs in the air like a joke.
Now comes the fun part.
Interior accelerator of the trenches morning. Anton charging through the charging through his kingdom, Cole by his side. Various entrepreneurs look up to clock them as they pass. A glimpse of the god with his golden boy.
Morning, misfits.
Anton and Cole head toward the Ambrosia office, where Cole's engineers rush out to meet them. Cole looks up at Anton, silently asking for permission.
Go ahead.
We've just been acquired by Google.
One by one, Cole's guys start freaking out. Cole does not...
What?
How much?
$1.8 billion, all in.
Paralyzed silence.
Not bad for 4 years of work. You kids have fun.
As Anton leaves, the guys swarm Cole with hugs. Exterior accelerator driveway continuous. Georgina pulls up. She steps out of the car, stares up at the intimidating building, and as she approaches the entrance, Jenna bursts through the door, Damien on her heels.
I cannot believe you're bailing.
I'm cheerleading from the sidelines.
I don't need pom-poms, Jenna. I need cash. You are the biggest pharmaceutical company in the world. You made $500,000 just standing here.
I can't. I just... You know what this sounds like?
Yeah, a solution.
It's a pipe dream.
It's software.
Which directly competes with our core business.
So it's not a pipe dream. You're scared of me.
They sit with that for a beat, and then...
I'm not going to disappear, Jenna. You realize that. I'll just keep growing until it's too late.
Then you're already there. You don't need me.
She opens her car door, and he grabs her wrist.
Wait, look. Look, I'm nowhere. No one will invest in me. I need you.
I believe in you, Damien. I really do. I believe in you so much that I'm pulling out. I'm too selfish to date a guy who's married to a startup, and I'm too smart to write a check to the guy who's going to put me out of business. But listen to me. When we come crawling back to buy your company for the GDP of a small country, I want you to remember this day and tell me to fuck off. Okay? Promise me you'll tell me to fuck off.
She gives him a lingering kiss on the cheek, then gets in her car and pulls out. Damien at a loss, watching her go. Jenna's car. Jenna's phone to her ear.
Yeah, we're good. He's finished.
Driveway. Damien turns to head inside, and he still finds Georgina standing there.
Hey, door's locked. I've got an appointment with Anton today. That looked rough. I'm sorry.
No, don't be.
You just have to find another way. That's what we do, right?
I just watched my company die. I'm sure we're what we do.
He slips inside. She follows him in, wide-eyed as she enters. Interior accelerator, the trenches continuous. A massive party, champagne sprays, music blasts, like a music video cast entirely with geeks. It's a total shit show. Georgina takes in the scene, mesmerized as Cole's engineers pour the champagne into red party cups, spilling most of it as they pass around an old-school calculator, ecstatically calculating their fortunes.
3.8 of 180... Oh, shit.
Give me that. 11 of 180... Is this real life?
Cole, a little nauseated, watches his team freak out as Anton, wistful and proud, observes all of this from a distance. Neve marches up, grabs the champagne bottle.
Give me that.
Takes a long swig, wipes her mouth with the back of her hand, high-fives the guys, and...
We fucking killed it!
Then thrusts a cup into Cole's hand.
This is every entrepreneur's dream, Cole. Try to enjoy it!
A sympathetic smile as she leaves. Damien approaches.
This for real? Ambrosia?
Food of the gods.
Damien buries his envy, musters his best smile, and hugs him.
So fucking proud of you, man.
You're the one who told me to keep going.
Damien swipes a bottle of champagne.
I'm gonna take this. You understand.
Then disappears down the hall as we land on a new face. Pale, aloof, and dangerously smart. This is Andrew Slade, 25. His only friend is a dog at his feet and an Alaskan husky that barks when Cole walks up, offering his champagne like an apology.
Here, have some.
Slade stares at it, then slaps the cup out of his hand, sending it flying against the wall. Voices hush, people stop and stare. So uncomfortable. Which pleases Slade. Satisfied, he leaves and the dog follows. Party's over. Cole heads back into the glass office, tears down the ambrosia banner. It's the end of an era. Anton, the constant watcher, heads up the stairs, leaving the accelerator in an unsettling quiet. The entrepreneurs toss their cups, return to their desks, and we're back to real life. Georgina looks around, unsure of where to go, when...
Who are you?
Oh, hi. I'm Georgina. I'm here to see Anton.
He expecting you?
No, he's not. I'm here to talk to him about my startup. After, like, 9 emails, I didn't really feel like waiting anymore.
So you just showed up?
So I just showed up.
I don't think it's possible. This is a crazy fucking day, basically.
I didn't think he'd be disappointed. I think he'd be disappointed if we didn't meet. What I mean is, I know he'd like to hear what I'm working on. Please, 10 minutes, that's all I need.
Hang out, I guess, and I'll let you know if he frees up.
Thank you, really. What's your name?
Neve.
Neve, I'm Georgina.
Neve disappears back into the accelerator right as Sergey Brin glides up with a nod.
Hey!
And quickly exits. Silicon Valley's version of a celebrity sighting. Interior Tektronik Media newsroom afternoon. Somewhere between a gossip blog and a professional newspaper, the newsroom hums with young reporters. Audrey Trenton, late 20s, quick, clever, and always on, tabs among tech blogs, flash sales, and incessant instant messages. She leaves online. I'm going to start this one right over. Audrey Trenton, late 20s, quick, clever, and always on, tabs among tech blogs, flash sites, and incessant instant messages. She lives online, and she's gumshoe to the core. Boom! An editor, 30, drops a stack of research on her desk.
Oh, look. Paper.
I want 500 words on why man-made islands will take down America.
A whole 500? Really?
This isn't the New Yorker, Audrey. If you can't finish your article on my... if I can't finish your article on my 6+, while I stand in line for a froyo, I can't run it.
Audrey's computer pings. Her IM starts going haywire.
Fuck me backwards. Anton West just sold Ambrosia for $2 billion. Cloud starter.
Oh, I really gotta brush up on Wikipedia. I still don't get what the cloud is. Is it one cloud?
Do you seriously work here?
Yes.
She continues to read her IMs, more amped up by the second.
Bidding war between Google and Amazon. Anton played them against each other.
So it's the usual VC bullshit?
This isn't a venture capital firm. Anton runs an accelerator.
What's the difference?
The difference is he doesn't just throw cash at every kid with a computer science degree. He finds the rock stars before anyone else does. He coaches them like every day's a Super Bowl. He lets these kids live on his estate. He's churning out one Ambrosia after another, and no one can figure out how. Okay, this is a story.
Okay, except Anton West hates journalists. Told me that when we did Shrooms at Summit, at a Summit series.
He also said BuzzFeed has done more damage to this country than the NSA. Dude wants a story. A real one.
Okay, all right, get over there.
If I land this, no more 500-word bullshit.
You land this, you can be at War and Peace. Just keep it under 140 characters.
Already off. On it, grabbing your things.
Fuck off. I'm out.
Close on a game of Go. A hand places down in a black stone. Interior Accelerator Anton study afternoon. Anton pondering the ancient Chinese game.
Don't you get bored playing against yourself?
Damien at the door, looking like he's been through a war.
Best man always wins.
And loses.
Always a worthy opponent. I heard what happened. Have a seat.
Damien collapses into a chair. A moment, then...
How do you know when it's time?
Be more specific.
To give up. I mean, how do you know?
Anton clears a pile of documents into a nearby trash can.
This is it, Anton. This was the one. If I could just extend the runway.
More money won't solve your problem.
I'm willing to give up equity.
That's not how it works. I give you $100,000, a desk, and a bed, and I teach you everything I know. I take 10%, and we never have this conversation again. That's the deal. You want to keep going? You either make money, or you find another investor.
I found another investor.
Then became her competitor.
Are you... We went over this morning. You told me.
I told you that this would be war. In the trenches type shit. I still have PTSD from my first startup, and that was 15 years ago.
But you took it public when you were 30. Your name is everywhere.
You want to be somewhere? You want to be somewhere? Go to business school. Walk down to Sand Hill Road. They'd love to have you.
Just the suggestion is like a punch in the gut.
Make other people's dreams come true. You know, no thanks.
No one stays here forever, Damien.
Are you kidding?
You gave it your best shot. I know it, and you know it. And you failed. But you failed like a fucking champion. If I could keep you here, I would.
Then keep me here. Teach me. We'll figure this out.
Not without a viable product.
You're going to be fine, Dame. You're in the one city where failure means more than success.
Okay, look, just... Look, hold on.
Twitter's looking for a new biz dev guy. I can make
Twitter,
some calls.
Twitter? I still can make...
Or we can talk other options.
I have no other options!
Anton falls silent. Something's lit up inside of Damien.
I can't be them, okay? Out there, those people with their people lives. I can't be someone's business casual bitch and punch out at 5 and light up every time I get a deposit to my Chase account. I am not that guy. Look, you're sorry. I'm an entrepreneur, Anton. I only know how to live here, where I invent shit and I hustle and I fail and it fucking hurts because it's mine.
Damien sits with that. Anton gives him a moment.
This won't make you feel better, but you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
I am running out of time, and I can feel it. I can feel it, you know? It's just slipping away.
Anton softens. An empathetic moment, then... Knock, knock. Call at the door. Damien looks away.
I'm driving today. Come with me.
Maybe tomorrow.
Damien exits. Cole watches him leave and then turns to Anton.
I guess I should start packing. I have to swing by Mountain View to sign some papers.
Anton moves to the wet bar and pours 2 glasses of champagne.
Take your time. Drink?
I'm okay.
I guess you have nothing left to give. Or I guess I have nothing left to give you.
Thank you, Anton. For everything.
We did what we set out to do.
Is it normal to feel...
numb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not much else to say here. They smile politely, look around.
Well, I just wanted to...
I should... Thanks again for...
Anton walks cold to the door.
Don't forget you still have a company to run. Let's start mapping out the data migration, and you need to write a letter to your customers so they don't freak out. Tell them that you'd be called Google Cloud now, that you're proud to join forces.
Excited about what's coming.
But nothing else is changing.
Right. Got it. Thanks.
Cole exits, leaving Anton alone once again. Anton takes a sip from his glass, then pours both out in the sink. Neve walks in and places a bag of takeout on Anton's desk.
Did I order?
I did. Your favorite.
Handing him a contract.
With a side of 1.8 billion.
You read it?
I wrote it.
Then we're good. Who are we hiring to run the deal?
I was thinking we could deal with Google directly this time, cut out the middleman.
We need a bank to back up numbers, someone who can make 1.8 look like money well spent.
What, you think Google overpaid?
It's not what you look at. It's what you see, you know?
Neve nods, impressed but somehow also disappointed. Her phone pings. She checks it, stops, stares at her phone, concerned.
What now?
Nothing. Stupid. What else? Josh Saltz is here to see you.
A pained look from Anton.
You promised him a follow-up?
Is he wearing a fucking suit again?
I explicitly told him not to wear a fucking suit again. And there's a girl here to talk to you about her idea. I read the business plan a while back. Interesting, but a little out there.
Is she on the calendar?
No.
See how long she sticks around.
He's in the garden. Be nice.
Exterior accelerator garden afternoon. Anton waiting for someone to put him out of his misery as Josh Saltz, a smarmy, overpolished wantrepreneur in a bright red t-shirt, pitches his heart out.
Everyone wants a good fitness app, right? Checking at the gym, track your calories, share your runtime. I've done the research. I just need some cash.
Uh-huh. How much?
$500,000 to start. I know it's more than you usually...
Your MDs know that you're here?
I don't need to know.
Anton's face. Probing. Calculating.
What's your problem?
My problem?
Yeah. Every startup begins with a problem. A real, stupid, basic problem. I can't stalk my friends. Facebook. I can't hail a cab. Uber. What's your problem?
At a loss, Josh glances at the pool, which we notice is overflowing. Two men are in the process of draining it.
Okay. Think of it this way. Have you used your app?
You know it doesn't exist yet.
So how do you know people want it?
How can they want something that doesn't exist?
So you want my money to build something to find out if it's worth my money to build?
Okay, I want this app to exist.
Do you? Or do you just want to show people ads for protein powder while they take selfies at the gym?
I helped Nike buy my biggest competitor. $300 million, Anton. I know what people like.
You can't just know your customer, Josh. You have to be your customer. The people I fund are building cool shit for themselves first, then the customers, then the money. That's how Ambrosia did it.
As Josh takes that in, something catches Anton's eye through the floor-to-ceiling windows of the accelerator. Audrey chatting up Cole's engineer. Anton watches her work him as she laughs, takes notes.
I still think this is a great idea.
Well, I don't fund ideas. I fund people.
What does that mean?
It means everyone's chasing light bulbs, but I want Thomas Edison.
Anton rises.
My advice? Hack something together. Break some things until you figure out what needs fixing.
Josh stands, a glint of anger in his eyes. Anton catches it, reads him like a book.
Or stay at the bank. Much nicer way to get rich. I promise you. Gotta go.
And he's off. Josh looks down to find himself standing in a puddle of water, a quiet rage building inside of him. Interior accelerator, the trench is continuous. Audrey listens to Cole's engineer.
College just wasn't that interesting to me. This place is the new Harvard.
When she spots Anton outside, walking away.
You know?
Exterior accelerator guarded moments later. Audrey quietly jogs to catch up with Anton, who's gliding towards a palatial mid-century villa at the other end of the estate. She tails him, looking for a way in, when he turns, a sixth sense firing. Sizes her up instant.
How many words did they give you?
Oh, just a couple billion.
Doubt it'd fit.
I'm sure I'll find a way.
Anton turns, keeps walking towards his house, and she follows.
And I'm sure you know I don't talk to journalists.
I don't blame you. They've gotten you wrong so far, but I won't. I understand what you're building.
And what's that?
A cult of imagination. Whoever's building the next Google, they're probably doing it here. Audrey, Tectonic Media.
Audrey Trenton.
You've read my stuff. Of course you have.
It's been real, Audrey Trenton, but I actually have somewhere to be.
Mind if I stick around? See how you guys work? Come on. I want to write about the real Anton West. Start with 1,000 words.
Or you could just take a picture.
Is Instagram really photography?
Is blogging really journalism?
The way I do it? Yeah.
A chemical beat as he considers, then...
Off the record, till we talk.
Great. When do we talk?
Dinner's at 7:30.
Then he heads off. Exterior Anton's house driveway moments later. Neve is giving orders to some estate staff while Anton walks up. She clocks Audrey walking back in the distance.
Who is that?
A Tectonic writer wants to do a piece on us. We already closed Ambrosia. Couldn't hurt to brag a little.
Anton opens the door of his Tesla Roadster.
Since when are you into publicity?
Since when are you into secrecy?
Neve goes quiet. Anton drops into his car.
Bibi called while you were in the garden.
Clothing designer or prime minister?
We swapped Lebanon stories. Take a guess.
I'll call him from the car. Hey, we did good today.
Then he pulls out of the driveway and takes off. That's when Neve spots a brawny dude, 40, leaning against a beat-up Jeep down the street. Shaved head and a menacing smirk. A face she clearly did not want to see.
Shit.
Interior underground garage afternoon. Josh changes out of his t-shirt and jeans, climbs into a gray suit from the back seat, adjusts his tie in the car window, looks around to make sure nobody's watching, and then slips into interior Goldman Sachs afternoon. The caffeinated frenzy of investment banking. Jocks in suits. Cubicles and Keurigs. Charts and spreadsheets. Josh enters.
Salt!
Josh's director, a mercurial tool in a Gordon Gekko suit.
Anton West? Really?
Shit, I'm really...
I've been hand-jobbing him all day for this. Get in here!
Josh, trying to keep it together, follows him into a corner office.
Wait, what's happening?
The Ambrosia deal. Anton gave it to us. Specifically asked you to run the show.
That's... Yeah, I mean, I talked to him,
This
but...
is for you.
He hands Josh an envelope. Inside, a check for $1.8 million.
Takes real balls to pitch Anton West. Go buy yourself a house or something. Just don't quit on me.
Josh stares at the envelope, trying to make any sense of it. Mason Travers, 25, a preppy, brash young analyst, enters.
Just heard the news. Ready to get started when you are.
I want an airtight case for $1.8 billion, not a dollar less.
But that's... You mean Anton...
I want him to know we have his back on this. He chose us.
Off Josh, putting together the pieces, hallway moments later, Mason frantically pulls Josh into an empty cubicle.
The fuck is going on? We're supposed to be putting in our 2 weeks today.
Change of plans?
Anton didn't like your idea?
He had a better one. He makes me look like a fucking idiot, sends me packing, then gets the bank to pay me off. He wants Ambrosia to be worth $1.8 billion? Guess who's gonna make it happen? Motherfucker put me on the payroll.
I'm not gonna be handcuffed to that guy. We gotta say something.
Then they'll know we were pitching him behind their backs. He played me. I walked right into it. Fuck.
Mason re-signing himself.
I guess we need to know how Google's gonna integrate Ambrosia before I run these numbers.
Josh stares at him, an idea forming.
What if they don't? What if Google does nothing with Ambrosia?
Then why drop $2 billion?
Does Google win by getting better or by killing the competition?
Exterior mountain trail afternoon. A sign. No public entry. Dangerous cliffs. Anton, clad in a black wetsuit, lunges past it toward a high sea cliff. Overlooking the ocean, he drinks in the view, reveling in the solitude. We push in on the placid blue blanket, then pull back from the same ocean, but high up in the air now, and even further back through a tiny window on an interior airplane morning. Flashback. To find young Anton, 10, marveling at the water from his coach seat, that lust for life already in his face. Anton turns towards a weathered man in his 40s who smiles as he points out their location on a world map, somewhere in the South Pacific, an indelible father-son moment. Suddenly, the plane shakes. Anton looks up at him. He shoots Anton a tranquil smile. Happens all the time, kid. It's all good. Which makes it even more terrifying when the plane convulses, drops. And before they know it, the cabin goes sideways. The map flies backwards, and Anton, back to present. Free falls down the cliff, his life, body, and an expert died towards the rapidly approaching ocean, which neatly breaks as he cuts through the water towards some jagged rocks. He's moving fast, his head literally inches from a lethal blow. It's all over until the last second when Anton twists around the rocks with the grace of a shark, then swims back up to the surface, climbs onto the rocks, and at the bottom of the cliff, and stares at the water. He's calm, nonplussed. This is sport to him. There's something both very dead and very alive about Anton when he watches the wave collide with the rocks. Exterior, interior, Anton's car afternoon. Anton climbs into his car, reaches for his phone. 27 missed calls, a dozen texts. He places a call.
Neve? What? Killed it. That fucking guy. I'm on my way.
Close on a laptop. A Chase bank account balance. $437.29. Interior accelerator trenches afternoon. Damien's staring at the screen, the open champagne bottle in his hand. Slade slinks in behind him, his dog in tow.
Fucking Ambrosia.
Damien slams the screen down, turns to Slade.
You know that was on me, right? My fingerprints are all over that company.
I've got work to do, Slade.
No, you don't.
Damien slips his laptop into his backpack, stands to leave.
12% of that company is mine. Anton can't deny me that.
You got your new thing, man. You and Anton are doing well. Let it go. What?
You're telling that to the wrong person, bro.
Interior, exterior, Detroit public bus, afternoon. Marla Swift, late 40s, a wan, wiry woman, in blue nursing scrubs, boards the bus when her phone rings. A bus driver watches her nervously balance her bags as he flashes her bus pass. Ring, then fumble for her phone, trying to keep it together as the other passengers begin to stare.
Damien.
That's expired.
Intercut. Exterior, accelerator, garden, continuous. Damien, phone to ear, impatiently pacing.
Listen, Ma.
What?
I'm thinking of coming home.
I'm sorry.
I need $2. You can't let you on, ma'am.
I don't have any cash on me.
What's going on?
Embarrassed, she steps off the bus, watches it pull away.
Damn. I'm late for my shift. Can I call you back?
Yeah, sure. Look, I just need to talk.
Okay. I love you, honey.
The call cuts out. Damien looks around, very much alone. Cut to a book. Hacking the World by Anton West. Interior Accelerator Lounge afternoon. Being read by Georgina, headphones on, absorbed in the pages. Damien passes by, pulls her headphones off.
What the fuck? Oh, hey.
You enjoying it here?
Georgina gets up, grabs a bottle of kombucha from the fridge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm waiting for Neve to let me see Anton, which really sucks because I've been here forever and I'm starting to feel like an idiot. Plus, I told my dad I'd meet him in Sausalito for dinner, so.
A moment as Damien studies her. Pardon.
Well, don't get too comfortable.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
I'm just saying, this place can spoil you. But who knows? Maybe you're used to that.
Georgina shoots him a look, clearly stung by that one.
What is your problem, dude? You failed so everyone else has to?
My problem is that this place is for founders. You're not a founder, you're a CEO.
As she closes the book, slips it back into her bag.
What's the difference?
Damien spots a bottle of wine inside.
A CEO will go back to her family business if the startup thing doesn't work out.
You know nothing about me.
Except when you post on Instagram. Daddy's little vineyard looks good in the X2 Pro. Good luck with Anton.
As he dips out, off Georgina, glaring. Interior accelerator the trenches afternoon. Anton charges in, still in his wetsuit, to find Cole pacing.
I knew this was a bad idea.
Cole, listen to me.
We always said we'd be the next Google.
They're still buying you guys. They're just going to shut down the product. That's their right.
But then what was the point?
$1.8 billion, Cole. That's suddenly not enough for you?
I don't care about the money, Anton. This was my life for 4 years. I had so much more to do.
Look, if you want, we can...
We, there is no we. I was barely in that room this morning.
I did what was best for the team.
No. No, you gave up on me.
Cole storms out, leaving Anton unnerved for the first time in his life. Interior Anton's house, bedroom afternoon. Luxurious and immaculate. Really more of a modern art museum. Photos, paintings, and exotics objet d'art adorn the walls. Anton pulls his wetsuit down to his hips as Neve enters.
Oh, sorry.
It's cool.
Neve, trying not to stare at Anton as he rifles through his drawers, searching for something.
I put the call into Google BizOps. I know a guy there who can...
Have you seen my Fanagram t-shirt?
No, I haven't. Anyway, maybe he can convince them to...
I know I took it off after the meeting yesterday, and now it's gone.
As he heads into the walk-in closet, we glimpse his lean, Stirated body, thank you. But now we notice the gnarly scars on his back, seared into his skin like ancient battle wounds.
So look, I'll drive to Los Altos tonight, talk to Sergey.
You can't push on a rope, Neve.
The fuck does that mean?
It means you're misreading the physics. They made their decision.
This morning we had a company. Now it's gone. You're fine with that?
Look, you built Ambrosia too. You're disappointed. I get it.
No, you don't. 4 years ago, you would never have sold Ambrosia, and you wouldn't have played Sergei like that, and you wouldn't have hired a banker, you wouldn't have trusted with $100K to run a $2 billion acquisition, and you definitely wouldn't have let him kill our baby, so what happened to you?
Anton moves close.
You know, I remember the day you pitched me. We're going to change the world, Anton.
And we did.
Maybe. Maybe not. Mostly we just rearranged it.
It's fun, Anton. The money, the house... It's more than I ever thought I'd have, but there's got to be... There's got to be more.
Anton at a loss. Neve moves to the door.
That girl's still here. She's been waiting.
She steals one last glance, then closes the door behind her. Once she's gone, Anton grabs his antique clock and hurls it against the wall. Bang! Watches it explode into a crooked heap of wood and glass on the floor. Exterior Accelerator Garden afternoon. Anton walks past the pool, which is now totally drained, towards Georgina, who's sitting at a table in a quiet corner.
Georgina?
Anton.
Thanks for waiting.
I'm not very good at it, but...
He sits, looks at her expectantly.
I bet everyone's congratulating you on Ambrosia.
And you're not?
I know sometimes the money you make is also the price you pay.
I'd call that a win.
So would I. But all that time...
What can I do for you?
A thoughtful beat, then...
When you came to Stanford, you said that death is just a problem we haven't solved. But we forget that we've been solving it. 100 years ago, we died at 40. Now we die at 80 and forget to live.
That's the side effect of abundance. It doesn't mean we shouldn't fight for more.
But how do we fight for it? Waiting in hospital rooms, sitting at funerals, trying to buy back time for that when we have nothing left to trade for it?
So what's the product?
We talk about life extension like it's sci-fi, but if you could apply software to genetics, hack the genome for the average person...
No one can.
I can. That's why I'm here.
Georgina pulls out a kit, tears it open. Inside is a plastic vial, just like the one she was playing with in the car.
Saliva. My PhD topic. Most people don't realize how awesome spit is.
Georgina's inner geek is coming out. A childlike excitement takes over her, stirring something in Anton.
Your saliva contains everything you need to know about your genetic blueprint. Problem is, no one wants you to know it.
And no one can afford to know it.
Which is why I got the price down to $99. You spit into the vial, send it off to our lab, and tomorrow you get a personalized report with your family history, your genealogy, your predispositions. The first thing we tell you is how long you're going to live based on our models. I patented all this when I was at Stanford, which is why none of my competitors can do what we do.
How accurate?
98% accurate.
So it's like a form of entertainment. It satisfies your curiosity.
Curiosity gets people to sign up. Once you're in, that's when it gets interesting. Because now that we know you, we can start sending you recommendations based on your genetic profile, all grounded in the latest research, all proven to extend the lifespan. And we do that before you get sick. See, I don't just want people to survive, I want them to live.
I'm sure you do, but hope isn't a strategy.
No, but data is. 1,500 trial users, 80% off their meds, 93% out of the hospital, all of them projected to live an average of 10 years longer. Real longevity, that's... why I call it Fountain of You.
Who built it?
Me.
You can code?
Minored in CS, taught myself enough to hack together a prototype. It's buggy, but it gets the job done.
Who's funding you?
And bootstrapping, my own money.
Georgina slides the vial across the table.
So, want the Fountain of You?
Anton considers it, intrigued, but definitely not sold.
Can't just know your customer, you have to be your customer, right? Those words changed my life, Anton. Your book is a reason I dropped out of grad school.
You planning to go back?
The cost of a thing is the amount of life you exchange for it. Thoreau is required reading around here, right? No, I'm never going back.
Anton takes the vial, flips it between his fingers.
There's one more thing you should know. I won't sell Fountain of You before it's time, no matter how high the price. I won't take money that wants a quick exit, and I won't work with partners who want to tame me. I'd rather fail than sell out. I won't stop until this thing does what I know it can do.
Change the world.
I have no interest in changing the world. I want to invent a new one.
She holds his gaze, and Anton is now really listening.
Walk with me.
They rise, head toward the accelerator.
You want this thing to blow up? You're going to need some hustle.
I'm ready.
Georgina follows him into Interior Accelerator The Trenches Continuous, where a mass of entrepreneurs is starting to head upstairs.
It's not about readiness. It's about balls to the fucking wall ambition. You can't do it by yourself.
I've done pretty well on my own so far.
And that got you here. But the moment you launch, about six different industries are going to try to destroy you.
It's going to be ugly. It's going to be scary. Imagine the hardest thing you've ever done. Multiply it by 10, and that's a normal day in this house.
Does that mean I'm in?
There's only one guy I know who can pull off what you want to do.
She follows his gaze and lands on Damien, who's talking to some other entrepreneurs across the room. Georgina's face falls. She turns back to Anton, already vetoing the idea.
Look, I get it, but I can't work with
him. There's two reasons most of my people failed. One of them is that one of them is to start a startup too early. Sometimes the world just isn't ready for an idea.
If the world were ready, I'd be too late.
The other reason is because they try to do it alone.
Georgina absorbs that.
Show me you can build a team. Then we'll see if you belong here.
With that, he disappears into a sea of entrepreneurs. Interior Goldman Sachs night. Empty now. Josh, clearly tipsy, nurses a bottle of Black Label at his desk as he stares at the envelope from earlier. Mason enters, totally hammered, carrying a cardboard box.
Found them! We got 5. 1 for you, 1 for me, and 3 for the directors so they can dick measure at Christmas.
He reaches into the box and pulls out a deal tombstone, a translucent trophy shaped like a cemetery tombstone. It bears the Ambrosia logo next to the $1.8 billion price tag.
It's weird. You land a deal, you get a tombstone. Feels like it should be a better shape, an ice cream cone or something.
Mason proudly places his toy on the sad little desk. Josh places his next to the 6 others on his desk.
You know, after B-School, I went to Bolivia, 2008. Zombie apocalypse on Wall Street. $200,000 in debt, so screw it. I decided to bike the death road. 50,000 feet high, about as wide as this desk. People die on this road, like, every day.
I went to Mexico once.
So I'm on the death road, and I hire this... What was this? Diego, this tiny little fucker. Anyway, he tells me, rule number 1, don't ride in the middle of the road. You stay against a mountain, or you ride the edge of the cliff, but never get stuck in the middle. Otherwise...
Something catches Josh's eye. On his screen, a TechCrunch headline. Anton West finds novice entrepreneur to create real-life fountain of youth. Beneath it, a photo of Georgina. Josh, a mass of raw envy, ready to snap.
Fuck him! We don't need Anton. This is our seed money right here.
Forget the startup.
What?
I'm sick of these Silicon Valley tools pretending they understand the universe. I know some shit about the universe, too. We should be investing. We have enough cash here to throw at our own startups.
I want to be Anton.
I want to be better. I want to take that Tony Stark motherfucker down. Put in your 2 weeks' notice.
What happened this morning?
Josh stands, grabs his tombstone.
Called me a light bulb.
He stumbles out. Interior Accelerator Dining Room Night. Georgina looks for a seat among the animated entrepreneurs. A bunch of diverse faces will meet next week. It's like the high school cafeteria, except the chef has 3 Michelin stars and everyone's talking world domination. She heads toward Cole, who's sitting at the lunch table alone.
Mind if I join you?
Sure. But no one serves you here. You just got to go up to the kitchen and tell Kenji what you want.
It must feel amazing to sell your company, even if it didn't go the way you planned.
Amazing isn't the word I'd use.
How does it feel?
Like I want to do it all over again, which is insane since this one nearly killed me.
What do you know about Damien?
Swift? Best guy here?
He's a little crazy, right?
Oh, completely.
Like Aubrey de Grey crazy or Elon Musk crazy?
One time he closed an investor while skydiving. Wouldn't open the parachute till he got a verbal commit. That's a true story.
Georgina looks across the room at Damien, who's sitting at a nearby table, deep in discussion with Anton.
This place makes no sense.
It's designed that way.
Damien and Anton's table.
80% off their meds, 93% out of the hospital. It isn't time to quit. It's time to pivot. Same vision, different strategy, new partner.
While Damien considers this, Anton spots Audrey talking with a bunch of entrepreneurs nearby.
This is your move. Get to know her. See what you can work out.
Cole arrives as Anton rises, an ineffable moment between them. Anton places a hand on his shoulders, then heads over to Audrey's table.
You're just a byline waiting to happen, aren't you?
Ready to talk?
Anton nods and heads out of the room. Audrey stands up.
Good times, guys. See you soon.
And follows him out. Neve catches this, not pleased. Damien and Cole's table. Georgina approaches, holding the bottle of wine we saw in her bag earlier. They stop their conversation, watch her skillfully open and pour it as she talks.
My mom gave me this bottle. Her last vintage with my dad. It's all she'll talk about these days. Fuck morphine, give me the Syrah. We've got a month, maybe. Acute lymphoblastoma. Anyway, all the signs were there, but can't do much when it's in your blood. The day she got diagnosed, I dropped out and went to work in the app. The only thing that could have prevented it. I brought the bottle to celebrate getting in. Cocky, I know, but I can't do this anywhere else. I had to come here.
Damien looks at her and sees a new person.
To your mom.
Damien takes a long swig. Colt takes a tiny sip.
I didn't like our last conversation.
No way for a partner to talk.
You mean co-founder.
I've been at this for 2 years.
Then you should have met me sooner.
You would have been too busy dodging pharma companies to talk to me.
And that's a good thing I know how, because you're coming after me. They're coming after me. They're coming after you.
You mean us.
And then they were Fountain of Two.
They look at Cole, amused by the turn of phrase.
20%.
25.
Anton gets 10. We'll all get diluted in later rounds.
You want 80% of a QDAP or 40% of an empire?
40? Where's the rest going?
You're sitting on one of the most valuable data in the world. We're going to need a serious geek to figure it all out what it says.
They both turn to Cole. He looks up from his glass.
Want a pinch hit? I'll make it worth your while.
Not like I have a job anymore.
Georgina slides Cole a USB drive.
User data. Hope you like Excel.
She stands up, pushes in her chair.
Enjoy the rest of that, co-founder. By the way, it goes for 30 grand at auction.
Damien nearly choking.
It's the family business, not mine. See you guys tomorrow.
And with that, she heads out. Damien watches her leave.
Good wine.
I'm sure it's excellent, but it just reminds me of Welch's when you leave it out for too long.
Interior Anton's house, bedroom night. Neve leaves some documents on Anton's desk, straightens up his stuff. Finds his Fantagram t-shirt bunched up on the floor. Caresses it for a beat, drapes it over his chair. Then she heads back to the elevator, which opens to reveal Anton and Audrey giggling intimately.
Neve?
Hey.
She glances at Audrey, who's studying her curiously.
I was just leaving you the notes for tomorrow and I'll just see you in the morning.
Sounds good.
She pushes past them toward the elevator.
Oh, hand this to Georgina, will you?
He hands Neve the plastic vial from earlier.
What is it?
My answer.
The elevator opens and Neve steps inside.
And can you have Kenji send up some strawberries?
Sure.
Thank you, love.
The door closes, a moment then, elevator. The tears come fast and hard. She fights them, but that only makes it worse. The door opens and she heads into the foyer. A total mess. She stops, collects herself, dries her eyes.
Hey, Neve.
Georgina, in Anton's house.
What are you doing in here?
They told me to... Are you okay?
No one's allowed in the house here. No, please, it's time for you to go.
Georgina stares at the vial, a smile spreading over her face.
Yeah, sorry, I just... No one explained the room situation.
What?
The room? No one explained how it...
He accepted you?
Georgina holds up the vial. In the dim light, we can make out a small pool of saliva at the bottom.
That's... Well, I don't have time to set you up with a room for tonight. Crash with someone else or grab a couch. I don't know. Figure it out. Sorry. I'm a little busy right now.
Neve brushes past her and disappears. Interior accelerator, residential floor, night. Georgina pauses outside of a door. She hesitates, looks around, then softly knocks. The door swings open. Damien brushing his teeth.
Hey.
Hey.
I don't have a room yet.
A toothpastey smile as he steps aside and lets her in. Interior Anton's house, bedroom, night. Anton watches Audrey marvel at his room.
So Neve is kind of intense.
Israeli army will do that to you. She was a hacker before I poached her. Cybersecurity unit.
You know, I usually get bored with my stories after a few hours, but this one keeps getting better.
You chose the right day to show up.
We still have the record?
You tell me.
I'm not here for that.
Anton moves close.
Who said I was?
She meets him, studies his face.
Just my angle.
He slowly corners her against the bed.
Angles have a way of changing.
She playfully escapes, slides back against the bed frame.
They have a few ways.
He crawls towards her, pins her.
I like this one.
He kisses her hard. She melts, slips off his shirts, running his fingers over those scars as we dissolve to... Exterior Anton's estate, aerial early morning. The sun rises over the spectacular property. This place just makes you want to get up and start a startup. Garden. The pool is being refilled. On a lounge chair, Neve stares up vacantly at the water. Ping. She checks her phone. You can't ignore me. Neve tries to shake it off, her face hardening with anxiety. Damien's room. Damien stares at the ceiling wide awake. He glances over at Georgina, still fully clothed. She turns over.
How'd you sleep?
I didn't.
A knowing laugh. This could get complicated. Interior Anton's house, bedroom continuous. Audrey, nude, stirs under the sheets. She sits up to find Anton gone, but a note writing on the pillow. You look good off the record. A. She climbs out of the bed and wanders around the room, studying the pieces on the wall, each with an iconic moment in time. A photo of Anton and Steve Jobs holding up the first iPhone. A photo of young Anton and the man from the plane. A sword with Anton West, Kaizen, engraved in the blade. All of them superimposed on a world map, crinkled, faded, and charred at the edges. The map from the plane. Ping, her phone, a text. Need that piece. What's the angle? Her reporter instincts kick right back in. She raises her phone to snap a photo of the wall, then decides against it. She pulls on her clothes, grabbing Anton's note on her way out. Interior accelerator Anton's study continuous. Anton doing crunches as he takes a conference call, a new unbridled energy about him now.
And if I had four wheels, I'd be a car. But I don't. I'm a man. So let's just stick to the truth, yeah?
Neve enters, perfectly composed. She hands him a tablet, which he quickly reads and approves with a polite nod. Then she hands him a small red package. As she leaves, he extends into a bizarre yoga pose, and then she hesitates to turn back.
You have your own way of doing things, obviously, and I respect that, but the move you pulled yesterday wasn't you, Anton. It wasn't the Anton I know.
Guys, I'll hit you back.
Anton ends the call, turns back to Neve.
We approve every new investment. Together. Fountain of you? Are you kidding?
I didn't think you'd disagree.
Come on. What's the market for life extension?
Ballpark? The entire world.
Not me. I'm 32 and I've already had enough.
You're not normal. You do realize that.
Oh, starting to.
Well, most people want to stick around.
For what?
Tons of stuff. Life.
It's a fantasy, Anton.
Isn't that what you wanted? Something that would change everything? She's the kind of person we should have been funding this whole time. And now Damien? Fucking dream team. I'm telling you, Neve, these guys are going to disrupt healthcare as we know it. They're going to make more money than we've ever imagined. They're going to rewrite the rules of life. We have to coach them every step of the way, you and me, like old times.
Neve softens and absorbs that.
I'm thinking of giving Audrey an exclusive on Georgina. Hit the ground running when Fountain of You goes live.
I guess I have to find that girl a room.
She won't be staying.
I meant Georgina.
Oh. Put her on the third floor. I want her to mix with the engineers.
Neve heads for the door.
And Neve, if we agreed on everything, you'd be redundant. Remember that.
Neve nods, slowly easing back into Anton's confidence.
Open or close?
Open.
Then she heads into the hallway. Exterior accelerator driveway continuous. Audrey, still in last night's clothes, slips out when...
Nice outfit.
Slave waiting by her car.
Thanks.
You like him. Everyone does. But there are things you don't know about Anton West. Things no one knows.
Audrey looks at Anton's note in her hand, then back at Slade.
You'll be hearing from me.
Off Audrey, watching him slither back inside. Interior accelerator dining room morning. Damien enters to find Cole where he left him last night, typing away like a concert pianist.
Were you here all night?
You need to see this.
Damien turns on the communal iPod dock. A dope song starts playing. Damien pours himself some coffee as Georgina enters.
Here's the video of Mussolini dubbed Anton's TED Talk, because Slade already sent that to me.
This is better. I wanted to simulate how long different users would live, you know, if they used your app in different ways.
You can do that?
Well, I built this model.
Damien changes the song. Something more up-tempo.
Break it down for us.
With a few keystrokes, Cole projects a logarithmic graph onto the wall. Three steep curves going up and to the right. He stands up, walks them through it, and...
Okay, see this curve? That's the life expectancy... Okay, see this curve? That's the life expectancy of users who have been with us for 2 years. They live 5 years longer on average.
Makes sense. We suspected that.
And this one...
Steeper.
Those are the users who stick with us for 4 years. They'll live an average 12... They'll live an extra 12 years on average.
You know that for sure?
Damien changes the track, his ADD in full swing.
That's what my model says.
Garbage in, garbage out.
This isn't garbage. These are real patients.
He changes songs again. Georgina shoots him a look.
Pick a song, dude. What about that one?
The third group.
It goes straight up.
Off the chart.
Literally.
Damien goes for the iPod again, but Georgina grabs his hand.
Literally?
It doesn't make sense.
Cole loses himself in the data, completely transfixed.
He's perfect.
Thought this was the temp gig.
It was an interview.
In theory, any function can approach infinity, but in the real world...
Oh, wait.
Damien turns off the music.
What are you saying?
Our app could make people live indefinitely?
They stare at one another. It's too absurd to even entertain. Neve enters with a thick envelope, hands it to Georgina.
Courier came at 5 this morning. Good thing I don't sleep.
Neve pours herself a coffee as Georgina tears it open. Close on the contents. Anton's Fountain of View report.
I set you up in Cole's old room, by the way. Anton likes to spread you guys out.
Actually... Cole's gonna keep his room.
I found my next product.
Neve stares at him. A pretty killer trifecta. Suddenly, they become aware of the tense silence.
What's going on?
Coming from Georgina, who looks like she's seen a ghost.
George?
She exits the room in a daze and heads towards Anton's study, where Anton is opening the red package. He reaches in and pulls out the ambrosia tombstone, which is now cracked. He holds it up, trying to decipher this ominous message. Anton's face through the tombstone, fractured and disjointed into shards. Georgina appears in the door, holding the report.
Morning, Misfit. You ready to talk world domination?
But she just stands there, frozen.
What?
I don't know how to say this.
With words would be good.
I got your report back. You're gonna die, Anton. You've got 6 months.
Hold on, the two of them, paralyzed by this secret. Then we quickly fade out. End of pilot.
Woo! Woo!
That yes. ending!
That ending,
though. That ending, though.
I don't want to die.
Okay, guys, we're going to really quickly reconfigure the room a bit because we're going to do a quick Q&A with our amazing writers. Would you mind if we put you in Suzanne's seat, Tara? We're going to bring Suzanne and put you right in the middle next to Gabriel. Very well read cast. I liked the choice to make Slade British. That was
very... Yeah, it seemed a little pompous.
It worked,
so,
yeah. I liked it. So for those of you maybe just tuning in, we just read the pilot script to Accelerator by Gabriel Mizrahi and Suzanne Farwell. For those listening, obviously it's an amazing script. I'm like a little emotional having read it. I don't know how you guys feel. So I kind of want to dive right in, and this is a discussion, so everyone chime in. Tara, I know you're not on a mic, but we'd love you in this as well. Can you guys talk about, just a bit about the development and inspirations for this script?
Yeah. First, can we talk about how awesome you guys are?
Thank you. Yeah.
No. Suzanne and I kept looking at each other like, is this actually happening?
Well, it's our pleasure.
You guys are so talented.
Thank you.
And
thank
like,
you.
I know it's not easy to make a pilot script work in a small studio when you're all staring at each other and it's not actually happening, but you really brought it to life. It was
thank
awesome.
You so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where do we start? Development?
Yeah, I just kind of, like, inspirations, development, maybe how you two met, I'm kind of interested in. Maybe we start there. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. We met in a funny way. We met through a mutual friend, I'll say, who asked me to read something Gabriel had written. And I was really, really impressed. And so we set a meeting. And what was interesting was we found sort of right away that I had had this... been thinking about and hearing about these guru guys like Peter Thiel and Paul Graham and these accelerators and incubators. And I was thinking, you know, this is such an interesting world. That's such a cool character. And it was something I'd been really thinking about, but it's not a world that I know other than reading Inc. magazine and watching 60 Minutes. So then we met and it came out pretty quickly that Gabriel had, I started pitching it to him and he had had the exact same
like
thought.
The exact same thing.
Yeah. So crazy.
And we had just, it was the first time we had met. So she was telling me, like, I've been reading about this guy, Peter Thiel, and I think I had literally come from one of my last weeks at my job, my last, like, corporate job before I became a writer, and we had been talking about setting up an accelerator potentially within that company. So I was, like, already thinking about it. And I think it was that day when we were like, I think we should, this is a show. Mm-hmm. It's not just a show because there are characters with these really interesting backgrounds with super high stakes who have like given up going to Harvard or given up the military or given up, you know, whatever these lives they had before they came to the accelerator to build something. And most of them, statistically speaking, are going to fail, but all of them really want to succeed. Like all of that stuff felt really meaningful. But then the fact that we could create a self-contained world on this larger than life guru's estate was really exciting. Mm-hmm. So visually and cinematically it felt good, and then in terms of the emotional plot lines it felt meaningful, and then I think we're both pretty interested in technology. It was a few iterations of the script before we landed on Life Extension as the product.
Which I can't wait to talk about, not quite yet, but that's such an interesting and fresh take on what could have been maybe a routine script. One thing you mentioned when we were emailing was that Suzanne's kind of talent and brilliance as a producer is like world building. Can you talk about the contributions that each of you made creatively to this script as a team?
Yeah, we have to talk about Suzanne's sensibility for production design and world building because that is so much part of the script. And I think in the script, it's in the background. But when it comes to life, it's going to be so clear that this is like a visually beautiful world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's part of what makes it fun. Like, yeah, at the end of the day, there are people sitting on laptops working, but it's in this guy's estate. Like,
right.
You know, they kind of get to live next to the kind of wealth they hope to have. And there's a lot of fun that we've had with doing that. I mean, I wrote it, but I couldn't have written it without the constant conversations that Suzanne and I have, and we have this really wonderful rapport and we're very close friends, so the development process was super collaborative. It was me writing, then us talking, and then me writing, and then us talking back and forth for a long time. Suzanne, you should talk about how I think what you've been doing on your feature films crept into the script.
Sure. The films that I've produced are all, most of them have a very aspirational world and look and feel. And I wanted to bring that to this world. So it was this fun marriage of this aspirational high stakes world and then with Gabriel's deep knowledge of the startup world and technology and sort of that combination together, I think, is what makes it a really special script.
We agree.
Yeah.
You know when
you watch these movies that she's made, like, it's complicated and the holiday and someone's got to get, you're like, I wish I lived in that.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this is why I spend so much time at Restoration Hardware.
Yes.
Because I want to be part of it.
No, it's so true. Like, even the posters for Nancy Meyers movies are just, like, you feel like you're reading, like, a pristine architectural magazine. Like, it was mentioned in the script.
Yeah.
There was the allusion to, like, if Architectural Digest and Southern Living maybe, like, made...
Wired.
Yeah. It is... I know you're saying it doesn't come alive in the script when you read it, but it really does. I mean, I know it needs to be visual, but...
There's a line specifically that I fist-pumped when we were reading today, and I circled and underlined when reading it the first time, and it's fucking electric.
Yeah.
That line gave me chills. Yeah. And it's that, like, reading that, I was like, I want to work there. I was like, no, this is even better. I own this place. This is the best ever. So for world building, this whole thing, for coming to life, because it's a table read, is like, that's so far... Like, so far, not the case. Like, this, I felt so entrenched in this world, and like, everyone's backstories are so rich. It's just such an awesome pilot.
Yeah. I also loved how visuals can tell the story. So, anything as simple as the pool and that, how that shows the passage of time and how we have moved from the pool being overflowing to being empty to being filled back again. And now we know where we are in our day or what day we're on. Things like that are really brilliant. And I that stood out to me. I liked that a lot.
While reading the script, my main visual was like, it was like a Charles Xavier mansion for techies. That's what I kept going back to.
Cool. Yeah, and, like, even just the inherent complications of these people are all working and living together. Obviously, romantic complications get introduced in the pilot, and the potential for love quadrangles.
Yeah.
It's just, like, so rich. You talked
to... like a sophisticated soap to
yes.
the script. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great.
Which I have to say, Suzanne was, from the very beginning, really excited about that part of the script. Like, because it's so easy to get bogged down in the technical plot lines, and we have those scenes where it's like, look at these logarithmic charts. That's a hard scene, and we don't want every scene to be about the, let's be honest, sometimes technical dry stuff that goes into running a startup. Like, most people think it's this glamorous, exciting thing, and I did want to make sure it didn't feel like it was this cartoonish, glossy version of something that's actually really hard. But I think what makes that fun to watch is when all the relationships are developing and then get complicated because everybody... at this really interesting time in their lives are living in a contained space.
Well, that relationship between Neve and Anton, as subtle as it is, adds so much depth to both their characters. Instead of them just kind of being superheroes, which they are throughout the whole thing, although you see Anton breaking down a little bit towards the end with all these things that keep happening to him, but that moment, and I think I got it more today reading it, or with Rox reading it, but that little relationship is like, I want to watch more episodes. I want to know what happens between the two of them.
Yeah. Like, is she in love with him?
Yeah.
Is she, you know, all the
is
things.
Is he in love
there.
With her?
Does he look at her as like a dog? I don't know. There's so many different things.
Yeah, that vulnerability of Eve, I love that. You know, just in contrast to her very tough, you know, exterior.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I get
so much
shades
fun.
Of Steve Jobs, and I forget Kate Winslet's assist, whoever she played, how she's really the only person. I feel like, in a way, Neve is maybe later down the line the only person that can actually talk to Anton in a way that's...
Yes.
There's something very rich there, and I want to see more.
But also being a strong female character. And
tough as balls.
You can't say it enough how hard that is to find today. So it's cool that she just kind of is kick-ass.
Yeah,
multiple.
Yeah.
So many great female characters. Yeah, yeah. Thank God. There's not enough female characters on TV, and Audrey, Androgyna, and Neve all rock.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And you guys read so well. I know we said it, but...
quick question. Just speaking of, like, a love triangle, was there any, like... exploration maybe in future episodes and maybe it ran through your mind that Cole was in love with Anton as well?
Ooh.
Because that's how I read it, and I just thought that I just got that from the script when I read it.
Yo, the fact that you picked up on that is so awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else has really picked up on that, and it's not that Cole is explicitly in love or pining after Anton, but we have a really fun, and honestly something we haven't spoken about that much, but we have it in our minds as Cole's romantic evolution over the course of the show.
You guys wrote it very well. I mean, that's what I was like.
It's
very
so tricky. Like, when we talk about it, it makes me excited again to hear it. You realize how many, every person has shades and how every person wants something different from another person. Mm-hmm. Neve Anton relationship and Cole Anton relationship, and the fact that they all end up sticking around in the accelerator.
And then Audrey too. It's like there's, yeah. I do want to talk about the time or the life extension twist, because it's obviously already a very elegant, well-written pilot, I think it could have maybe felt kind of like a Halt and Catch Fire or Silicon Valley mm-hmm. without that twist. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, this is something kind of new. Was that something you were talking about it a bit at the beginning? Was the life extension twist something you wanted from the start?
No.
Okay.
We discovered that. Mm-hmm. I think that was two or three drafts, major drafts, into the writing of the pilot. I want to say, like, to pull back the curtain a little bit, in the very beginning, I think we had every one of the characters who are our main characters, Damien, Anton, and Cole, working on different products. Hmm. And there was something that just wasn't working when they weren't all onto the same thing. And then I think it became a conversation of like, okay, so then what is that product? So I read a ton about that world and what people are investing in, what people are starting, and it was like, okay, is it another social app? Is it like enterprise software? Is it, like, there's a few common categories of kinds of companies people are starting. And none of them were grabbing me. And then I think I just started to stumble across this life extension world, which literally is science fiction becoming science. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not quite there, but we're on the cusp of that becoming a real thing. And I think Suzanne and I read it, and we were just passing articles back and forth, and we said, like, why can't these guys be working on that huge thing? And that's when I think the pilot really came to life for us, where it was like, okay, we had gotten the world generally, we had kind of gotten the vibe and the rules of an accelerator, but then when it was like, let's work on this product that's going to completely rewrite the rules of life, then everything started to
Yeah, really it click. Took it to another level. The stakes. There are no higher stakes, right?
Yeah, but, six, know, like...
Yeah.
The implications for...
Yeah, it's amazing.
We started talking about what are the implications. We got excited, you know, What are the implications for religion and for people's, you know, timelines, for women, for... You know, it just
marriage, relationships.
Everything. Yeah. Everything, yeah.
Well, I think it was one of those cases, like, clearly you guys can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk with, like, blowing our minds with this accelerator? You know, mm-hmm. when you're reading the script, you're like, Anton West, he's this genius, he's done all these things. It was like, there's got to be some huge idea that you guys threw in. And when I saw that, I was like, well, holy shit. Look at that. Because it's not often you're watching something, you're like, that is so feasible. It's so close to happening. Yeah. And it's also like, I don't have to stretch at all. It's literally something that could happen in 10 years from now. So when you're reading it, you're like, well, awesome. That is what's going on here, you know, at Ambrosia. So
yeah, it's funny. Like, in addition to finding a product that's just cool and fun to watch on TV, the trick was finding a product that everybody involved in it would have some stake in it personally. Mm-hmm. So, like, Georgina started it. And this is important, I think, for television and film, for the characters to have something more to do with this product than just wanting to get wealthy or wanting to be famous for making this thing. And Georgina, obviously, it started from a very personal place because her mother got sick. And this is the exact kind of technology that could have prevented that.
Yeah.
And Damien, obviously, is, like, full of talent but just doesn't seem to be starting the right company at the right time. So for him, time is, like, he says, like, I feel it slipping away. So how great would it be for Damien if there were, like, 10 or 20 more years? You know what I mean? His timeline would shift. And Cole is, like, hungry to do it all over again. And then the trick was folding it back in on itself by making Anton the first person who discovers that he's going to die.
And
that was really important for the plot.
I hope I'm not interrupting. I get so excited about this script. Thematically,
calm
just,
down, Jeff.
I know. Thematically, just the whole idea, too, of, like, all these people are giving all of their time to the startup. It's, like, this really weird kind of contradiction of, like, and it's brought up a couple times in the script of, like, all this money, but all this time. And then all of a sudden, time is the central thing that they're developing. So it's, like, so layered and...
What's the Thoreau quote?
There are a couple, I think, in there.
Oh. Yeah.
There's a couple, yeah.
They meant the cost of something is the amount of life you give up for it.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And, like, time and money are... It's, like, the time value of money. Like, they are the same thing. So all of a sudden, when money and time are both at odds and intertwined, it's, like, so rich.
Mm-hmm. What I think is incredible, too, is that, like you talked about, this isn't that far off. It's kind of like how when we were growing up, or when I was growing up on Disney Channel, there's a movie called Smart House, and now it's CES this year, and all it is about the connected world, the connected kitchen. You walk into your kitchen, it's talking to you, you're talking to it. And I feel like this is one of those things where life would imitate art, and you guys would create this, and somebody would be like, that's where all of my energy is going, and mm-hmm. in a couple years after that, this would actually become reality, which is a crazy thought, but I think you guys are seriously onto something here.
Yeah. Well, it still feels like reality, definitely. It wasn't like people are flying around in their cars. Yeah. You know, obviously our world, and especially because you put a real person as a character, right? Sergey Brin is really someone. So I kind of wanted to know about that because he is a living human, not an actor. So, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that was just a funny thing. I remember a few years ago I was visiting a friend of mine at Google, and we were sitting down just having lunch. By the way, they have like the coolest work environment.
Of course they do.
Not as cool as this.
Not as cool. This is way better. But like, mostly because we're reading my script. I have no idea what it's like for you guys, but this is great. But I was there and we were having lunch and Sergey Brin just walked by and everybody just stopped and stared. And my friend was like, yeah, it's kind of a big deal. When we see him, it's like a celebrity sighting. It didn't really mean that much to me, but it's I knew so who he funny. Was. But they were like in awe of it. I just thought, how funny is it that they have their own version of celebrity in that world?
Yeah.
That is so different from the one we have. So it was just like a fun little thing to throw in, but also a way to make it feel authentic.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if we can get him.
Get him to wrestle.
Can you talk to us about the choice to go back into Anton's past a little bit? Mm-hmm. Because I thought that was really interesting and I wasn't expecting it.
You know, in a pilot, you're trying to open as many doors as possible so you have things to walk into for the rest of the show. And a big question that we kept coming back to is like, who is this guy beyond just being really smart and really wealthy and really good at what he does? Paul Graham, who is one of the loose inspirations for the character of Anton, who's kind of a startup guru, and he writes these really beautiful essays. I think in one of them he said something like, a startup is a company that's just constantly trying not to die.
Hmm.
Like, until it has its big moment, basically. Every day is just a struggle for survival. And so I thought, like, if this is the guy who's able to get these companies through the worst of times until they succeed, then this has to be a guy who, like, knows how to survive in some very primal way. And so we just started imagining this backstory for this guy who had gone through this trauma as a child with his father, which we only give a taste of in the pilot. We don't give away too much, but who was in a plane crash and who survived and whose father didn't survive. Our idea is that in every episode or every few episodes, certainly for the first season but maybe beyond it, we're going to be telling that story in small pieces, so you see what the survival and the rescue was like from that moment when he was 10, when he was way too young to have to deal with that or even understand what it meant, and how that turned him into the guy who can keep a company alive.
Wow.
No matter what.
That's so cool.
As we're talking about it, I'm struck by just thematically how it's grounded. And so technology is the backdrop, right? But everything is grounded in humanity, right? So it's like him losing his father and Georgina losing her mother. And, you know, I just think that's what's so interesting to me about it as we talk it out.
Yeah, it's such an efficient script. It's beautiful and elegant, but it also accomplishes a lot, so I have to give you guys both credit because that's the job of a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys thought at all about potential networks this would live on, or potential? It's fun to imagine. I've kind of pictured it as like an HBO drama.
We wrote it, I think, for a cable network. And not so much because it's super, super edgy, but mostly just because I think it's somewhat sophisticated subject matter and kind of smart.
Yeah.
The tone and the pacing of it feel mature.
We need to be able to say fuck. And we need to
throw fuck in.
Yeah, we tried to defuckify Anton a few times.
Yeah.
I think that's cool, though, that he doesn't like cuss a lot for some reason. It just doesn't seem like his personality.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to.
Yeah,
he's got other words. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys about this through line that kind of goes through the whole pilot, and that's that money isn't the answer. You say it a few times. The girl who's dying is drinking a bottle of wine that's worth $30,000, or her mother's dying, so it's literally like money cannot solve the problem. Was that something that you guys were like trying to push, or was it something that just kind of came out when you were finished, you know?
I mean, I think what Suzanne and I thought was so interesting about the, in many ways, the startup mindset, is that you're trying to create wealth as opposed to money.
Mm.
And you're trying to create value as opposed to like cash. So you make money once you create something that people need or solve some problem that no one has tried to solve. And a lot of these accelerators play a subtle game with their entrepreneurs where they're like, I'm going to invite you into this super elite accelerator and give you as many resources as I can to help you succeed. But I'm only giving you $25,000. I think there's a really cool story, and I hope I'm not misremembering it, but I think Airbnb, which was in Paul Graham's accelerator early on, part of what attracted Paul Graham to that company was that he, the Airbnb guys who started it, I think, like, raised some money by selling cereal boxes with Obama on the cover at the inauguration in 2008. Like, literally as a way, like, selling cereal with Obama's photo on it and then selling it for, like, you know, whatever it was, $10 or something, and made, like, a significant amount of money for people. And when they told him that story, he was like, okay, these are the guys I need to fund, which says a lot about, like, how they conceive of the hustle required to make it happen. So it's interesting to see what somebody will do with $25,000, where somebody else might be like, I need
a half
$500,000 to make something that he doesn't even know people want.
Yeah. Well, it's such... Does anyone else have anything? I sort of do want to talk about the potential future of this script.
Yeah, definitely.
I really want to see... Have you guys thought at all about casting or, like, dream... I would love to see David Fincher direct this because there are shades of Social Network.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about... you need to have a personal tie to what's being created. I think of Mark Zuckerberg in The Social Network, who is this lonely, isolated guy who is making an app to connect with people. And I don't know, have you guys thought at all about, like, your dream team for this pilot? Or
Fincher is a great idea.
We'll see if he's available.
Yeah. He's kind of busy, I think.
We have our sort of inspirations for each character. We thought a lot about Michael C. Hall for Anton.
Oh, cool.
Else for Damien?
Yeah, we have sort of archetypes who helped us imagine the characters as we were writing. But as far as directors go, I love television directors who have that indie film sensibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many great directors in television, so it would be so fun to, like, imagine them doing different things with every episode. But when I think back to, like, what Six Feet Under did with directing those episodes, and they invited filmmakers in, and it was just so quirky and beautiful and cinematic, and I feel like that would bring something special to the show.
Cool.
That's the fantasy. Yeah.
Does anyone else have any other questions? No. Guys, I mean, we can't thank you enough.
Yeah.
I would love to read more of this. More importantly, I would love to see more of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do we make that happen?
I was going to say.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Is that all right? So this is the first of this new series.
Yes.
You guys are launching the Unproduced Table Read series. Can you tell? Like, this is so cool.
Right?
Like, I'm excited to listen to it and hear the other scripts you guys are going to read. So
good.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. Thank you so much for letting us promote. So we're going to be here every Friday at 10 a.m. reading features and pilots. Our goal is to get a huge variety. So next week we're reading a very, very ridiculous, over-the-top dark comedy called The Austrian Detail. I'm promoting for next week, but you guys should tune in. It's basically...
Is it a pilot?
It's a pilot, yeah. Half-hour comedy. It borrows on the idea that if... It's also kind of sci-fi connected, but if time travel were mainstreamed, everyone says they would go back to nobly kill Hitler. But the problem is, by doing that, there's, like, this logic loop where Hitler dying actually prevents World War II from happening and the baby boom doesn't happen, so it's much worse. So this guy gets tasked with the shittiest job in the world, and he has to go back and protect Hitler from being assassinated. And then I think each episode is going to be a different, like, horribly, like controversial.
Is somebody getting cast as Hitler?
We'll see. But tune in next week to watch.
Hitler. Like, I did Neve, so now I'm ready to take on Hitler.
I was going to say, which I thought you killed Neve, I got to say.
Hell,
thanks. I think we need more female Hitlers.
We did, yes. I think you have to be Hitler.
That's awesome, though. That's a really great idea. And
it's
you guys
good,
are going to do features and pilots?
Yes, that's the goal. Yeah, I have a feature scheduled for a couple weeks from now. So, I mean, we're all passionate about great writing. I mean, obviously, I'm a writer, and as the actors in the room know, everyone's hungry for parts that mean something.
Oh, yeah, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, and when you pick up a script and you read it and you're like, oh my god, this is... That doesn't happen a lot.
This is actually good. It's sort of the thought.
It really doesn't. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's such a great opportunity for actors, for us as actors as well, because we get to put our foot in so many different things that we would normally maybe never get cast as. And it's great because every script is a different story and a different character that we can tell. I feel like I'm on, like, American Horror Story or Black Mirror, where I'm, like, doing a different character every episode, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But you guys killed it. But also, it's fun to hang out with people who, like, geek out about writing.
Yeah.
It's one thing to just enjoy acting or to be able to read a script, but it's, like, to really have fun getting into, like, the writing process is, well, it's super fun for us. So thank
good.
You.
And I loved hearing, I mean, yes, I co-created it with Gabriel and we worked very closely on it together, but his dialogue is
it's so much fun to hear it,
you know, for a table read, it's just hearing that.
The scene between Anton and Damien is great. That really quick back and forth heated, I love that.
Yeah.
That, can we talk about that for
a
second?
Yes, I know we have
to wrap up.
No, we have 10, 15 minutes.
I'm glad you said that. And I'm sorry, I think you said that. Everyone really liked it, guys. That scene was the first time I realized that what entrepreneurs in Anton's world are going through are, it's just the same thing as like artists, yeah, writers, or mm-hmm. actors. And I did a read of just that scene in a workshop that I was, a directing workshop that I was a part of. And the actors read it and were like, oh my God, this is like how I feel when I haven't gone out for an audition for a while. Or like, when people are like, are you gonna, do you have like a backup plan? Like, and when they get to the line, I can't be them, like those people with their people lives. There's mm-hmm. something so universal about feeling mm-hmm. like that you aren't part of that larger world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that really helped a lot with the writing when we were like, oh, it's just the stakes are the same.
Yeah.
Just the product is different.
Right.
And I think that's fun and universal, you know?
Yeah. Just like that universal feeling of being motivated. I think of American Beauty a little bit. I don't know if you, I'm sure you've seen that movie. It's one of my favorite movies ever. And, oh gosh, I can't even remember her name right now, but the character who you find seems like the sexual seductress. At the end, she says, like, the only thing I'm afraid of is being ordinary, is what she says. And that feels like every character's thing is, like, I know that I'm special and I know that I have something. And the stakes aren't money, the stakes aren't wealth, but the stakes are being special is really what it feels like to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a struggle that we go through every single day.
Right.
I think probably every person in this room, you sit there and you have that conversation with yourself all the time.
Right.
You know? Yes. Am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right path? Am I good enough?
Am I ordinary?
And certainly ordinary? The tech, at, like, for acting is pretty... hard on age. You shouldn't age. Like, you should have your massively successful startup by the time you're 25, or you know, and or you're useless and too old. So, right. Much like actors. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everybody in this room needs Fountain of Youth.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess with that, if there's nothing else, I mean, thank you once again.
Thank
for
you so much.
Such a beautiful script.
Great job, guys. Yeah.
It's important for me, for you guys right now, to just let. Hopefully executives and development producers know where they can find you if they hear this, because I know all six of us want to see this live on screen, yeah. As do you guys too. So where can people find you so that you can sell this to HBO tomorrow?
Because that's going to happen.
In that case.
Yeah.
Well, the script is on the blacklist, so it's always available there, and I think all our contact information is on the script, but yeah, Twitter, I guess.
Yeah. Where can they find you, even on Twitter?
Just draw my email address.
I mean, yeah, it's up to. I guess that's a good way. If you guys want to find the script, reach out to them. You can find it on the Blacklist website with their contact information.
They're both very Googleable.
So. Yes, and they're both very Googleable. So please, I know as a team, we're going to do everything we can to see this live because we love it.
Mm-hmm. An audition for it.
He likes the way things were read.
Yeah.
In the meantime, guys, this has been the Unproduced Table Read. Thank you so much for tuning into our premiere episode. As I mentioned, we'll be reading Hollywood's hottest unproduced scripts in an attempt to really hopefully see them live. If you guys want to catch us again, you can do so on the Popcorn Talk Network every Friday at 10 a.m., where we'll be reading both comedies, dramas, sci-fis, pilots, and features. If you want to find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. I was going to promote my after shows, but The Good Place just wrapped. So, but anyway, I'm going to be here every week at Friday at 10 a.m. So the rest of you guys, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mike Kalinowski, here on the Popcorn Talk Network at DC Movie News, MacGyver Afterbuzz Show, DC Character Corner. That's about it.
You can find me on all social media platforms at I Am Timothy Mike.
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer, and thank you guys so much for letting us help bring these words to life. You did an amazing job. Thank you.
Absolutely. You guys can find me everywhere at Andrew Guy.
Tara, we'll go with Haley.
I'm Haley O'Connor on Twitter at Haley O'Connor, and I am doing the OA After Show, Netflix's also kind of sci-fi show, over on AfterBuzz today, so check it out.
I guess I'll just talk real loud.
Yeah, it'll pick you up.
Hi, guys. I'm Tara. You can find me on Twitter at the Tara Erickson.
That's Tara at the Tara Erickson. I got you.
But yeah, that's all we've got for today, guys. We hope to see you next week. And again, this is the Unproduced Table Read every Friday at 10 a.m. See you then.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.